I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well.
We're going back to the East Coast, everyone.
Here we find ourselves again.
Here we find ourselves again. What should we call it?
Honestly, I don't know.
Staten Island
Sisters.
Staten Island.
It'll come to us.
Okay. Guys. It's Carrie.
And Lara.
And we're coming back to you. We're going back to the East Coast, back to the tri-state area.
But not at Jersey this time. We're going over Jersey.
Nothing from Jersey. We're going over the Verrazano Bridge and we're stopping right in Staten Island. We're going right to SI, baby.
Where even is Staten Island?
Okay, this was
I need a geography lesson because... Like, I could not. If you put a gun to my head, said, hey, try and point out Staten Island.
You're not going to be able to do it.
I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
So it's like, I too was like, where the fuck is Staten Island? Like, the whole time I lived there, I never went to Staten Island. But like,
I mean, why would you go?
I drove over it once. No, I drove over it twice. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to get some people, some New Yorkers, some Staten Island. Hey, Gary, you're from Philly. You don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know shit about SI.
I think it's like below where the Statue of Liberty is in the harbor. And it's like between New York and the tip of like North Jersey, like the coastal area of North Jersey. It's like right.
Okay, I'm looking now. I'm on a map. And I have...
Close? It's like not really like... Mm. It's like... No?
So, you have the Isle of Manhattan.
Yeah. You have Brooklyn.
You have Brooklyn. And then kind of... Then between like the low tip of New York and Staten Island, there's the Upper Bay. And then Staten Island's like off to the left.
Right.
And it's like...
But it's close to Jersey.
Yeah. It's like just...
Like just
a
off
stone's
the coast.
Throw from New Jersey. And you go over the Bayonne Bridge to get into New Jersey.
Bayonne.
So Staten Island, yeah.
And the Verrazano.
And it's close to like Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, yes. I guess, is like on one. Is that where Brighton Beach is on Staten Island?
No, I think Brighton's in Brooklyn. Hmm. But you can get from Brooklyn to Staten Island or go over it. I don't know. I've been through it. No, I have been through it. Like on that highway.
You have been through it.
I've been through it. But it's a real, you know, and it's a huge island.
It's massive.
It's massive and there's like it's very nice. It's very sprawling. I know
its
there's a one
own vibe.
There's a few landfills. but it's like otherwise very like picturesque and beautiful. And it's truly its own world. Like Long Island is its own world.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause Long Island is fucking massive.
Yeah, and I thought Staten Island was like part of Long Island.
No.
I was wrong.
Staten Island is its own thing. Staten Island is where like Working Girl takes place.
Okay.
We talking about Staten Island because we're reviewing Mob Wives season one.
Hey,
we're back.
Hey, if you're in Jersey, I'm just getting updates. There's severe thunderstorm warnings. Take cover.
Yeah, I heard that. There's like also smoke blowing from Oregon.
To Jersey.
Into New York City and...
into the mouths of the residents of New York.
Right. So, okay, so it's...
okay.
Here it is. You're right. It is a stone's throw away from Elizabeth and Lyndon and Perth Amboy. There's a ferry. You get there by ferry.
Love. Don't they go there in Sex in the City? Yeah. Where they go, when she goes to the fireman competition?
Also, I think, yeah, when Charlotte gets drunk.
Yeah. Ugh, I'm seeing my... ideal living location, North Jersey.
You want to live there?
Honestly, I do. I've looked at real
estate.
Why
don't you just do it?
I mean, I feel like in my soul somehow I'll end up in North Jersey.
I can see that for you.
I'm ready.
Look, it's like an island, but it's pretty much just like right there. Like you could just hop over it.
It's its own thing.
It's its own thing. You go right through it. Tottenville. Eltingville, Great Kills, Richmond, New Springfield, Manna Heights, Emerson Hill, Grasmere, West Brighton, Elm Park, Graniteville.
I'm learning so much already.
Okay, so, yes. So it's like...
so we've located Staten Island.
It's like its own world, and there's like forests on Staten Island.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like there are a lot of forests over in the East Coast.
They have their own Silver Lake. Their own reservoir.
Wow.
Wow. Guess we're not as unique as we thought, huh?
Staten Island hipsters.
They have a few lakes. Okay. Listeners, readers, are there any Staten Island heads either from there or currently living in Staten Island? Please raise your hands.
Identify yourselves. Tell us. Tell us where you're from, what
you do.
Tell
us where you're from.
Yeah. And just weigh in. Send us a voice note.
Yeah, send us a voice note in your best Staten Island. I had a friend in college from Staten Island, and she was...
was she starting?
She was starting. Love she was...
that. I feel like Staten Island is an island devoted to starting.
She was fully starting, very successful, but like... fully starting at all times. And she loved the Dirty Shirley at our college bar.
What's a Dirty Shirley? Oh, like a Shirley Dirty Temple Shirley
with
Temple.
Vodka in it.
Love that.
And she at one point we were at a bar, our like tavern, and it was like the townie bar that they tolerated having the college kids there. And you could smoke in there. And I turned and she had like 10 Dirty Shirleys on her table. And she looked at me and she went, I don't know how I ordered all these, but suddenly I have all these Dirty Shirleys. And I was like, hell yeah.
That's Staten Island vibes.
That's
for
Staten
sure.
That's Staten Island for
That's
you.
That's Staten Island. You don't order one, you order 10.
You order 10.
And you don't know how they got there. You don't really remember, but there they are. And they're yours forever.
I don't know how I got these. It was a Dirty Shirley fairy.
Yeah, I just love Dirty Shirleys.
I just love a tavern. but it's like a very, you know, it's kind of a storied place and a clear epicenter for mobsters and
the
crime families of old, where they set up their own.
Is it like unassuming? Is that why they're over there?
I don't know. I think it's just like it's a very predominantly like Italian and Irish, I think, and they all like
they love it there
just because of Ellis Island is right there, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
they all came over and probably.
I'm seeing something that says New York Container Terminal. Is that like shipping containers?
Oh, yeah.
So that might be a good reason to set up shop illegally to get into the shipping containers.
You might be right.
Everything I know that I, from this point forward, I just want to make clear, everything that I know about Mob is just from watching The Sopranos twice and then reading certain Wikipedias. So please just understand that that's where my knowledge comes from, and that's how I'm going to weigh in.
Well,
but I feel like that's honestly enough.
No, but I think it's, the crime families sort of hover around like unionized businesses and like public works, right? And like waste management, water, like stuff like that. That's like,
yeah, shipping
essential,
mm-hmm.
but like maybe not assuming.
And stolen goods.
And stolen goods. Things fall off trucks.
Every truck, they just falling off. I'm getting them.
They just fall off.
The Staten Island accent is also very different from the Jersey accent.
Yeah, it's like it's truly like it's. I'm like kind of bummed I never went over there because I think there are some like cool places on there. Like it has like a cool like downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
And you take that amazing ferry from Wall Street that goes like right down the harbor, and it's like where the world. You could see like that
beautiful
World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
by the way, I'm currently watching the show called The Last Ship. It was on TNT and Eric Dane is in it, who's like the hottest person I've ever seen.
Shout out Eric Dane.
Shout out Rebecca Gayheart. But there was this random moment where this girl's like, both my parents died in 9/11. I have no one and I'm an only child.
Wow.
I was like, damn.
Sob story.
Both of them.
Place of 9/11.
Both died.
Wow. Did she go into details or?
Yeah, he like, her mom worked at one of the Twin Towers and her dad was a fireman and ran in to get her.
Damn.
Her character.
Double homicide.
Yeah, but there is like a viscousness to the accent that's not as pronounced.
It's more drawn out A's, I think.
Yeah.
And
hey.
I look forward to hearing it, having it fill my head, me starting to think in it, me starting to just talk in it sometimes. Because I live for a Jersey accent, but it's very different. And can I also say that music in the intro music is so fucking good to the show. The big, big bang, the reason I'm alive. It was an iconic song. I used to just like play it to myself when I would watch the show like way back in the
really?
Day. Yeah, because I loved it. It was sassy.
All the music, very sassy. Great. Like usually I feel like in the first episodes of like a reality show, they'll just do like kind of free music.
Mm-hmm.
And this seemed to have like they had a soundtrack in mind before they started filming it.
Yeah.
And what I learned was that Renee Graziano's sister, Jennifer, is the one who, like, put the show together. She's a TV producer, I think, for VH1 Viacom, and she, like, conceived this idea. So Renee's sister is, like, behind all of it.
Yeah.
She's Jane?
Graziano's sisters. Well, so I guess when the show came out, Papa Graziano didn't talk to them for a few years because he was, like, really upset that they did this show.
Renee's unwell.
She's struggling. She's past starting.
Oh,
she's like, she started and never stopped.
She's a perma-start.
Like, yeah.
Fully. She's like, you know, in Mario Kart when they're like getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Like that's literally Renee Graziano at all times is when you get that, those like mushrooms, mm-hmm. you can power up. That's
she's
her.
Running on fumes. She's starting and is running out.
I don't even know if there's fumes. I think it's just pure. She's just running on pure chaos. Like fuel. Her fuel is just like absolute pandemonium and just being at a 10 at all times.
She's also like, I believe, in so much pain emotionally. And like, I really feel for her. I'm glad that she's just letting it all out. And I hope that this is a healing experience for her. At the end of the day, but like she's going the fuck through it.
Yeah. Okay. So, we'll get to her. So, we meet all the girls.
Yeah.
Well, we meet Drita first.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Drita was. Or, no. Don't we get like a little like. They introduce all of them briefly, and then Drita's like, I fell in love with a bank robber.
I'm pretty sure we meet Renee first.
Oh, okay.
And she kind of, like, each girl gives us, like, a brief backstory. And right. So Renee's dad was a mobster.
Anthony Graziano, who was a consigliere for a crime family.
Yeah, I pulled up everyone's, like, everyone's whole deal. Because there's a lot of, like, crime details to know about these people. Yeah. So Anthony Graziano, Renee's father, was a captain in the Bonanno crime family. Bonanno crime family. In 1990, he was a capo. And he pled guilty to federal tax evasion. You know, if they don't get you on racketeering, they'll get you on taxes. Yep. Pay your taxes. And he served 5 years in prison. In 94, he ordered his crew to find and kill John Papa and Calvin Henegar, both mobsters with the Colombo crime family.
Whoa.
On one occasion, the two men had fired shots inside a topless bar in Staten Island, owned by Graziano, wounding one patron. An enraged Graziano had sent his Brooklyn crew hunting for them. However, Graziano later met with the Colombo family representatives and agreed on a settlement to the problem. Graziano called off the murder order, but in 2002, he would be indicted on 2 counts of murder conspiracy due to this episode. Damn.
So someone ratted him out.
So, yeah. And they had, like, he was gonna murder them.
And then was like...
Then they had to have a sit down.
We had a sit down.
Then he was, I guess he was the consigliere. So he was like the Silvio. Mm. In March 2002, he was indicted on separate racketeering charges in New York, Arizona, and Florida. In September 2012, he was indicted on federal racketeering and extortion charges, bookmaking, and murder based on recorded conversations with his son-in-law, Hector
Jr.,
a.k.a. Renee's ex-husband, and conspiracy to commit murder. On June 20th, 2018, he was indicted again in Arizona on charges ranging from illegal gambling to investment fraud. His investment scams, carefully disguised by once successful Bulls and Bears fund, defrauded customers out of $11.7
million. Damn.
On July 18, 2003, he was sentenced to 11 years in prison on the Florida charges. On November 13, 2003, he was sentenced to 9 years in prison on the New York charges. At the New York sentencing, his lawyer asked for leniency, saying his client had diabetes and had survived 2 episodes of bladder cancer. Yeah. In August 2011,
I'm not laughing at that.
No, he was released from prison. On May 25th, 2019, he died. Hmm. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Anthony.
Anthony. Tony. Wait, okay, so Renee's husband was like a soldier in her and his crime family.
Yes.
Okay.
Renee's, and I guess someone, the rat, someone wore a wire and then caught them.
Talking
about their the family business.
And her dad basically owned like the Bada Bing.
I guess, yeah.
He owned like a titty bar.
He did. And then some people went in there, shot it up, and then a patron died. And then he's like, we're going to murder those cocksuckers. And then they had to sit down. That sucks for him that he's like, I really wanted to kill these people. Then he was talked out of it, called it off, decided to have mercy on him. Then got in trouble for it anyway.
He should be lauded for calling it off.
Should have just killed him. Yeah.
Fucking kill him. You would still want to jail for
it. If you're him, you're pissed about that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Renee, he's doing time in North Carolina while this show is being filmed. Renee is extremely loyal to her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's very torn about being on the show because she knows she's like, his word and his opinion is like of highest value to her.
Yeah.
And she, quote, loves being told what to do.
Love and that. I'm like, does she?
Yeah. And so she's, so she's like unraveling. She has a son who's 16 named AJ.
I know. It truly is like, this is giving me everything I needed.
Who sort of parents her, I think. Mm-hmm. Like he's
they're too close. AJ knows way too much and is exposed to way too much of the inner workings of her emotions and her relationship with his father.
Yeah, she kind of fosters emotional incest with him. Mm-hmm. And like he's a confidant to her when it's very inappropriate. Not like I'm not talking about it, like I'm emotional incest meaning like they're enmeshed,
telling she him relies, way too much. Yeah
she tells him things that no child needs to hear about their parent,
and they've like triangulated in such a way where it's like she's closer to him than she is to the father.
Mm-hmm.
And then like that's a what like you just You can't do that.
You can't do that.
Renee also loves fur.
Oh my God. Renee loves fur. She loves bangs. And she loves like sequin strappy tops.
That little like fur, those like fur purple roses on her confessional top are haunting.
But where is that? She wears a one, in one moment she wears a statement necklace that I swear is from like the jewelry bin at like a, like Ross.
Yeah, it definitely is. I love her fur shopping, which fur has come such a long way between like the early 2000s and now where it's like you just can't.
I mean, this was 2011 or 2010.
Oh, I guess it was 2010.
Yeah, so.
Even then, in the past 10 years, but Karen is like out. She's like, trying on a Lynx, which she goes, this is a Lynx. I have a Lynx. I just love all her statement fur.
Yeah, so Renee is just like, she has like a few qualities of like the NJ Housewives. She's got a little bit of Danielle in her. But
they all have a little bit of Danielle.
She's like a Caroline, but she's mostly Caroline, but like on a cartoonish level. She's all about loyalty. She's very into the mafia. Like she loves being associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other women comment on it that she's like,
she loves it too much.
She's like too invested in like being the daughter of a crime lord and like is obsessed with like the male mafioso, like
it's all she knows
and she's like obsessed with it and like she can't get out of it, like she's fully addicted to the crime lifestyle and like can't pull herself out.
It's also sad because it's sad. Like as a woman in families like this, you don't have any power or agency.
No,
like you are pretty much only negatively affected by your associations with or by being like connected, so to speak.
Totally.
So it's all just like extreme, like the what she holds onto so tightly is actually just like an empty vessel.
No, it's like it's her father's love is like composed of her being submissive and loyal to his like criminal
to him, like,
his criminal
ordering murder on people.
Yeah, like she's she's so warped and it's actually kind of sad and she can't let go, and her sister, like I don't know how she convinced her to like
it'll be good for you.
I wonder if her sister knew this about her and like wanted to, I don't know what's going on,
like make her realize, because she is going to like therapy on camera and seemingly having a lot of like powerful therapeutic moments,
but she's literally,
her whole life has been,
yeah, she's, her head is like in a beehive, mm-hmm. and she can't pull herself. She like
she's being stung
all over her face, but she's like, I will remain in this hive because this is all I know. My safety is in a, she's in a place of beehive, like
she's full beehead. Yeah. We then cut to Karen Gravano, whose father was Sammy the Bull Gravano.
Sammy the Bull.
Who was an underboss of the Gambino crime family.
Which is a huge crime. That's like
yeah,
a really...
There's the, I think the there are five crime families. And so that's like another big one. She has been out of the game for a while because her dad was a... He flipped and then became an informant who took down... the mafia took a huge hit when her dad, Sammy the Bull, flipped. And she relocated to Phoenix and has been living there for the past 8 years, which honestly is a sentence worse than death. Sorry to everyone that lives in Phoenix, but you know the deal.
Can I say something?
Say it.
He's literally Joe Pesci.
He is.
He's 5'5", and he played a major role in prosecuting John Gotti,
mm-hmm.
who's like...
The one.
The one. And he...
He testified as a government witness against John Gotti and other mobsters in a deal in which he confessed to involvement in 19 murders. That's like a serial killer.
Yeah. They're all serial killers.
They are. Like, that is serial killer.
I have a question. Just refresh me. Being made means like you're initiated.
You've taken the oath and you're now in the family,
yeah.
and you like cannot, you don't get out once you're in.
Okay.
and you're like recognized as a made man, which earns you specific protections, but it's also like your blood oath that you will never go against your family.
It says in 1995, Gravano left witness protection where he was in. He started a swimming pool company in Tempe, Arizona, and he assumed the name Jimmy Moran. He relocated to Scottsdale, Arizona with his family. He didn't like the constraints of the program, it says, and then he began giving interviews to magazines and appearing in nationally televised interviews, like with Diane Sawyer, and it was reported that he'd undergone plastic surgery to his face.
Wow.
So he was like kind of a fame fucker.
Yeah. I wonder if it, like, he spent, is he still alive?
Yeah. He got out of, he's out of jail.
I wonder if he has to worry about, like, randomly being killed by someone.
Yeah, or his family, like, at all times. It's like at the end of Goodfellas.
Do you have, like, he must not be that afraid if he's out and about leaving witness protection.
Well, I guess maybe he's, like, it's like that thing where if he goes down, like, they're gonna
someone else goes down, too. Yeah. Because he's, like, such a front-facing public figure at this point. So I did a little research on Karen Gravano. Miss Innocent. Miss, yeah. I'm just going, because Karen's whole thing, she's like, I've lived in Arizona for 8 years, but I'm moving back to Staten Island to write a book and tell my side of the story, what it's been like growing up as the daughter of a crime family.
But mind you, she's leaving her own daughter.
Yeah, she's
in Arizona, which, honey.
Yeah. So in February of 2000, Karen Gravano was arrested for being part of an ecstasy drug ring that involved her brother, Gerard Gravano. Her father, Sammy the Bull, and her mother. 40 other people were also arrested in connection with the drug ring. Karen admitted to authorities and helping run what was called the biggest ecstasy ring to operate in Arizona.
Wait, and what year was this?
2000. Federal prosecutors maintained that the Gravanos had bought a significant portion of their ecstasy from a supplier in New York who reportedly had ties to the Israeli mob. Karen ended up pleading guilty to taking part in the drug-related transactions in the use of wire communications and was sentenced to 3 years of probation. Her father, however, was sentenced to 20 years in prison. Her brother was given 9 years.
Damn. She's an ecstasy dealer.
She's a former, like, in Arizona. I love a family business where you're like, me, my mom, dad, and brother, we're just running an ecstasy ring. That'd be a good TV show, actually.
And it's in Arizona. Where
in Arizona, where it's like, honey, you better hydrate.
But that's also, she was doing that in the late 90s, which means, like,
they probably made a ton of money. That's, like, when ecstasy was super popular.
And, like, the Southwest is where, like, the biggest raves were, I think.
Also, so right? Then she just got to live in Arizona?
Yeah.
Seems like a good deal. She probably had a lot of friends.
Her house looked like a nightmare. I'm sorry.
Oh, there was I was like getting panicky, imagining just like the desert dust on everything. Phoenix. And that like swimming pool that is like a fake, like fakely carved into the rocks is one of my least favorite genres of swimming pools.
To quote Cole Scola in his mom video, you don't spend time in Phoenix, you lose time in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. It's haunting.
It's haunting. And yeah, no shade to the Arizona listeners, but...
But they know the deal.
It sounds familiar.
You know. If you're in Phoenix, you know.
It's like in The Bachelor when the girl left because she couldn't live in... She goes, I can't live in Scottsdale.
Fair enough,
and
honey.
She left. He was like, I might have picked you.
So Karen's going to tell all in her forthcoming book, and she's like trying to do some research.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that everyone, when her dad flipped, every single person in her life turned on her. No one would talk to her anymore. She was like completely spurned, had no friends, because like that's how it goes.
I mean, I guess like once a criminal, always a criminal with these kind of people, but like. If you're going into the wood, if you're getting, you're a federal like informant and then an asset and then you're in witness protection program and then you become a family of ecstasy dealers, like you're.
I think that was before he became an informant.
No, I think.
Oh, what year did he become an informant?
Like early 90s.
Damn.
So they were.
He was at it again. Wow. They just really, can't stay away.
They just can't stay away from that life. Yeah, but you're right. It's like, okay, she's acting so like above the crime thing. It's like,
Honey, yeah,
you're
you literally
ecstasy.
Just had a family business of ecstasy,
which is like such a crazy.
That is a crazy twist.
Like,
so
not
he
math.
Just probably doesn't worry because he just goes to a different crime family or like gets involved in different crimes, and then it's fine.
He did
20 years, so I guess it's like he couldn't really rat anyone out for that.
And he was like, fine, I'll just go to the Israeli mafia.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Love that. So then we meet Carla Facciolo, and her husband, Joe Ferragamo, is in jail for stock fraud. And she goes, he's in jail for stock fraud. I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, he's like just a run-of-the-mill white-collar...
But he, I think, is connected. Let me find.
I'm sorry. Okay, never mind.
What?
I'm just like, how did the Manzos skirt all this shit? Well, I guess now they're not, but...
I think there's... I honestly don't know. I think it's probably like a combination of keeping really good books, paying your taxes on time, being friendly with the police in government. Your local area, and having ties in the government. Kind of keeping a low profile for the most part until you sent someone with a slapjack to like beat the shit out of someone in a parking lot. But like, I mean, it seems like they keep a pretty low profile as far as crime is concerned. And like, their forward-facing activities seem legit enough to where I guess people don't ask that many questions. I mean, it doesn't seem like they're running like a ecstasy ring.
No, but there, something's going on in that
place. Yeah,
something's being cleaned.
I know. It's also kind of like...
Allegedly.
Lisa and Ken, who I believe... They've allegedly. Been up to no good, allegedly. Carla's father is Louis Pacciolo, a New York mobster and associate of the Gambino crime family.
Her and Renee go back years.
Yeah.
They were like tight when they were young, I think.
And her, so her ex probably like helped, like ran a stock scam to help out like someone in the family or something like that. And then it just didn't work out for him. So then he went to jail.
Yeah. It's recession time, you know? People are going to jail left and right for tax shit.
But his, like, securities, his SEC hearing, like, proceeding documents are all online.
Great.
I know. So you can check it out.
Is he out of jail?
I think he is.
I mean, this is a crazy show.
This is... insane.
Like a bunch of women whose husbands / fathers are in jail for being in the mafia.
For full, not like, oh, the Manzos, like they're, we suspect. It's like, no, these people, like they're actively serving time for committing crimes that they were convicted for.
And they're
like,
putting
they've killed people and like robbed banks.
And they're putting themselves out there. Like, that's wild to me.
They probably need money, too. I'm like, how do these women, like, pay for their houses?
Well, you watched Growing Up Gotti.
I actually didn't.
Okay. The first season of that show is that's a wild tour de force. And that was the original Mob Wives. And it's, Victoria Gotti is just out of control and should have been a real housewife.
She really should.
She.
I feel like I saw episodes, but I was like. Didn't hit me at the right time to fully suck me in because it was like when it was on air.
Yeah, it was kind of.
But I need to revisit, and it seemed really. It was like too chaotic for me.
She lives in this like just palatial house with columns in Long Island with her three like Guido sons, and like they're just, you know, growing up gaudy. Is that a bad word to say, Guido?
No, I think it's fine. Sorry. I think like sorry to Guido's. Making fun of Italian Americans is totally appropriate.
But she wears like the craziest hair extensions and like just is constantly in furs.
But I just wonder, like, they must have had money set aside and like trusts or something like that in case of emergency, or like in case the man of the family goes down, there's like money to provide for the rest.
Yeah.
But I think that really varies from family to family. Like, I just wonder, how does someone who is essentially a housewife who seems to have no job, like, how are they paying their mortgage and like sending their kids to school and like living?
I think when like if you're a woman who's married to a man who's in the mafia and they go down, they like go to jail because they didn't rat, the family takes care of you. Like there was a family that moved in when my sister was a newborn across the street from the house I was born in, and it was the wife of a guy who went to jail for the Merlino family, which was like the biggest crime family in Philly. And they were protecting her, and like they would visit her all the time with their kids, and they had German shepherds in the yard.
The dogs that barked so loud, and the like, cops like wouldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, the cops told my dad to get his tags reinstated because they were expired instead of helping. It was so like I think you get taken care of, so I'm sure they're paying a lot of their bills.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Come by with an envelope.
And you have to assume there's probably offshore accounts. There's probably, like,
yeah,
trust hidden. Like, I'm sure, like, there's income coming in somewhere.
Yeah. But there has to be some sort of legitimate income
set up
just so that for tax purposes, you can, like, fill out a tax form and everything looks tidy.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know any accountants, lawyers, yeah, anyone, please write in and say how they do it, because I'm fascinated by what happens when you're just a housewife.
Is anyone...
When you're a homemaker and the husband, then the sole provider goes away, like, what do you do?
And if any listener is a accountant for a crime family and doesn't want to name themselves, let us know.
Be anonymous. It's totally fine. Yeah.
We're chill.
We're absolutely so chill.
Then we meet Drita. Drita is like...
Drita DiVanzo.
She kind of has Teresa energy. She's very like... She's kind of like a Doberman. Like she's just like a pit bull. Like she's just very like lovable, but also like... will fuck you up.
She's a ferocious queen of a woman.
She is. She has huge hard tits, like big knockers,
and just like.
But they look like rocks. They're, yeah, like rock hard.
She's very much like, she's stunning to me. Like I always,
yeah, she's beautiful,
like gorgeous. At times, looks almost like Kate Moss, and then. Like, there are moments where, like, just her face, yeah, and, like, bone structure, I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
Kate,
she's really tall. She's hot. She's, like, tall and, like...
Hot, taking good care of her appearance.
Very, like, yeah, great hair.
Great skin.
She's Albanian.
Really, yeah, Albanian. Her family disowned her when she married Lee DiVanzo.
She's, like, my Albanian. They're, like, all, like, very straight-laced, like, you know, hardworking.
Her family, they're immigrants, so...
She's, like, first-generation Albanian, and her dad is, like, a college coach or something? I don't know. Anyway, her husband's in jail for robbing a bank, which made me laugh.
Okay, wait, can I read you about some facts about Lee?
Sure.
Okay.
Her husband's Lee.
He was a leader of the New Springville Boys, a ragtag group of wannabe wise guys whom the government would later characterize as a farm team for the Bonanno crime family. So he was just like running a crew, mm-hmm, but like it makes sense. Like the guys that get nabbed for like robbing a bank or like pulling off these like heist kind of crimes, right, are usually like just... They're like lower level, TBD if he's even like a made man.
Right.
So it's just interesting that it's like she's kind of like they would be like lower level, like not someone like at Renee's level.
Or like a Carla.
Yeah. No. Like it's like he's just like.
He's like a wannabe.
He's like a wannabe criminal. He's like pulling off these lower level. Like you have people that are getting like. Defrauding people out of like $11 million. He's like stealing a bank and running off with like $300,000. Like these, yeah, they are not the same.
You have like the people who are in charge of like trash and like garbage disposal. And then you have people who are like robbing like a Dunkin' Donuts
out in the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
ragtag. They're like Robin Hood.
The New Springville Boys.
You should come up with a better name.
That's a horrible name. No one's going to take you seriously. It's hard to say.
The New Springfield Boys?
This says, DiVanzo was a meaty, tough guy with a cleft chin, piercing eyes, and jet black hair. A cousin of former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani.
Whoa.
He was the son of a car thief and loan shark who was killed in 1977 after trying to run down an FBI agent.
Damn.
The younger DiVanzo achieved notoriety last year as the husband of Drita DiVanzo in the BH1 reality series Mob Wives. The range of DiVanzo's criminal activities was from ripping off banks' night deposit box to burglarizing stores to breaking into drug dealers' homes. So, like, very low-level crimes. Who's that?
Naomi Campbell and someone in the New Springfield Boys.
Okay.
Wow.
I live and breathe for Naomi, but I will say she has some shady relationships. Oh. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, obviously.
Love like, her to death.
I
worship at the altar of Naomi Campbell for all time, forever and ever. But she keeps
strange
company.
She keeps some Some real fellas.
DeVanzo always had guns, says this FBI agent that was tailing him. He would keep a shotgun next to his bed. Whenever someone needed a gun, DeVanzo would provide one.
Yeah.
In 1992, one of DeVanzo's buddies was picking up drugs on Richmond Terrace in Staten Island when he saw a group of men loading bales of marijuana into a U-Haul truck, according to FBI documents. This is an this is from an informant who, like, ratted on him. He called DeVanzo, and together they followed the truck to a secluded location in New Jersey. They then phoned this guy, Pacello, who was the informant, and headed over from the city, broke into the vehicle, drove it away. When the trio arrived back in Staten Island and jimmied open the U-Haul, they could barely believe their eyes. It was literally a ton of marijuana.
Pacello is the one who was in the photo with Naomi Campbell.
Okay, so, and then he's the one that's, like, ratted out to the FBI, and that's, like, how I'm reading this today. Pacello sold his portion of the pot to a low-level mobster after placing a tracking device in the load. He then stole it back. Word soon reached the Bonanno mob capo, Anthony Graziano,
damn,
a stocky, brutish man with a permanent smirk about the huge haul. Soon, Pacello was ordered to deliver $50,000 in a brown paper bag. According to the FBI, Pacello went to Graziano's house and met in the garage with Graziano. Graziano questioned Pacello about how much money he had from the score. Pacello lied and said he only had $150,000. He told Graziano he used the money to purchase a home for his mother. Graziano must have sensed a lie because he instructed one of the soldiers to, quote, deal with this kid. The soldier pulled Pacello aside. You want to be around for all the weddings, but none of the funerals, he reprimanded him. It was a thinly veiled threat. Over the next 6 months, Pacello acknowledged to the FBI and federal prosecutors he and the New Springville boys pulled off several bank jobs. In one, a gangster strapped a fake bomb to his chest and walked into a bank where he threatened to blow up the building if the tellers didn't give up the money. They did, $300,000.
Damn.
They cased a bank in Staten Island for a full month, watching all the comings and goings and waiting, like, clocking like when an armored car would arrive, and then they robbed that bank. And I'm pretty sure, oh, that's like another, there's so many bank robberies.
That's so, they were like the Point Break surfer guys.
Is that what they did? They would rob banks and then go like skydiving.
Yeah, they like wore president masks and like rob banks.
Yeah, they were, except like no recreational activities. Just more bank robbing.
And hanging out with Naomi Campbell.
And like eating gabagool.
So they were kind of trying to like take a shortcut into like,
I think you do all that kind of stuff hoping someone notices you and then like ushers you, like promotes you within the family. Yeah.
Well,
but by 1997, Pacello's relationship with Lee DeVanzo had soured. Pacello said he didn't care much for DeVanzo and that he'd become jealous of Pacello's success. Things were so bad that a friend approached, again, Anthony Graziano and asked for permission to kill Pacello. Wow. DeVanzo's friend asked for permission. Graziano refused, possibly thinking it was more profitable to keep the club owner alive now that he was making major money in Miami. It was a decision he would come to regret. Pacello soon gave up the mob capo to the feds, providing damaging details about a Florida pot business that subsequently led to Graziano's conviction for drug distribution.
Hmm.
Wow.
DeVanzo also, Drita's husband also used to live with and date Karen.
For 7 years.
Like, they were domestic partners.
Fully. Yeah. I thought, like, at first, like, oh, they fucked a few times. No, they were in a long-term relationship.
And I think Karen still holds resentment towards Drita.
There's weird vibes for sure.
Because Drita kind of like, they were friends and she just like went for him. And Karen was kind of like, okay, man.
But I think it's also like Karen is on the better end of that because she's not saddled to him.
Right, but she was dealing ecstasy with her parents in Arizona.
Yeah, true.
So she's, it's, I don't know how like.
What, who would you rather be? I'd rather be Drita.
Me too.
Wait, so this article brought up like a really interesting point that was like, The contemporary Italian, this is what it says, I'll quote it. The contemporary Italian mafia is a parody of its former self. These days, La Cosa Nostra's fabled ability to exact vengeance on informants is more of a cinematic myth than reality. The old loyalties are gone, along with the old neighborhoods. Snitches and their families don't get stitches anymore. They get book contracts, reality TV shows, and movie deals. You can't trust a soul, says one erstwhile mainstay of the Staten Island criminal underworld who became so disgusted with his fellow mobsters informing on each other, he quit the life, moved to South Florida, and got himself a straight job as a telemarketer. Whatever happened to the oath of a murder? It's like being a rat is accepted in criminal society. It's kind of true.
Yeah, they're, I mean...
I think with, like, the dawn of the internet and, like...
Did you watch that? Oh, sorry.
No, even like social media being what it is and like reality TV, like you are a shoot, like you can escape any consequences for being a rat.
Did you see the documentary on Netflix about the FBI people who like phone tapped all the big crime people?
No, I started watching that and then kind of got bored. But like, is it good?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like... Woo FBI, because they're fucking terrible. Like cops, but yeah. It's just interesting. It was just interesting to hear about all the different mobsters in New York and how, like, you just hear like full phone conversations. They had like the way they went. They would tap people's homes as like they would pose as like an electrician or something, and have to like covertly stick a mic in the living room, and then these people would just have like. Crazy conversations like in their living room with their kids playing in the other room talking about like murdering people.
Yeah.
And they don't know that there's a fucking wire like under the lamp or something.
They did that in an episode of The Sopranos. I think it was like the beginning of season 3. The first episode is like entirely about how the FBI is trying to put a wire in Tony's house.
I remember that one.
And like it's just it's like it's such a all crimes of yesteryear, like it's, you don't, those kind of crimes don't really exist. These, I'm sure they do to some extent, but it's like you're gonna probably make more money from like hacking,
yeah,
or like internet crimes, internet scams.
Yeah, and then you can also like just, you don't need to tap someone's phones. You can just like look at their phone, like pull up their iPhone or like
yeah,
pull
phone
up their
records or
computer records or see what they're, you know, it is. Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I think the mob is still very, like the Italian mafia is still happening in Italy. I think they're like the organized crime over there is still like,
but really, there's also a huge trial going on there right now. I haven't followed, but I was like looking when it happened, that's indicting, I think, a lot of like the Italian mob. It's just such like, it's an interesting to see it petering out, mm-hmm. because always crime will rise up to take the place of other crime, but it is such like a,
it still exists,
yeah, but I mean it's not as
prevalent.
It's not as prevalent,
yeah,
and it's not as, people don't take it as seriously.
Yeah, I just want to say this, Renee looks like Jamie Presley's like aunt.
She is very Jamie Presley vibes.
Yeah. So Drita is on the phone with her husband and he's in jail and he's like asking her and she's like, how is it in the hole? And I think that's what she says, like in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's asking her to send her a care package to him because I think these people get treated well in prison.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, send me those cold cuts.
Cold cuts, bell peppers, olives, mozzarella.
And vanilla coke.
A lot of vanilla coke.
Like, I see guys getting it, I want it. So he's probably like, I think that's true though. They like take care of them in prison.
Yeah. Or they're in like medium security,
yeah.
Like where you can get care packages. I didn't know you could get care packages in prison.
Yeah. I think they're in like Teresa Giudice prison.
You
or,
just
like,
get
Martha
like
Stewart.
Delivery of like peanut yeah. butter and all the books you want to read that month. It's pretty
I think
chill.
Yeah. I think in those types of, you can like Postmate.
I love. Your wife is just your Postmate.
I think there's a jail where you leave every day. I think Epstein was in that, where you can like leave and then come back. You just have to come back at night.
I'm like, I'll go to fucking jail. You don't have to do any, you don't have to like make money or do anything. You just like go, come and go as you please. And then you don't have to worry about bills. That sounds like a privilege, actually.
Oh my God, I'm like always worried I'm gonna like accidentally commit like tax fraud.
You're gonna like go to jail. At one point when I did have like so much outstanding debt to the IRS, I truly was like, I wanted to just be like, can I just go to jail for like, you know, it's 10- like that. I was like, I know this sounds like this is extreme white privilege, but I was like, just send me to fucking jail. Like, I'll just go to jail. Like, that sounded great. Does that,
wouldn't
like,
be great.
No, it wouldn't be great. But I think I could, like, probably stick, like, 30 days in jail or a few months, I think would be very doable. You're just like, okay, I guess I'll just, like, go to jail.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's...
All jails are very different. I do not wish to be incarcerated at any point in my life. But, like, when you can come and go as you please and you get cold cuts...
Yeah, what that's a whole other, like...
That's a pretty good jail.
That's because jails are, like, supremely racist and, like, go easy on, like, white-collar criminals.
Yeah. I mean, it's fucked up, but I think he's, like, really flourishing in jail.
Yeah, it's, like, there's all those movies about, like, the mobster who, like, leaves jail and he's like, I want to go back.
Yeah, and even in, like, episode 2, Drita's like, he's been in jail. Like, jail more than you're out in the real world, she's like, he likes being in jail. Like, and the women are like... They have it easy. Like, they literally, you don't worry about anything. And if you can still work, you're probably still doing criminal things. Like, you can run. You can be a boss from the inside. You can still be a girl boss in jail. So, like.
He's just, like, eating cold cuts and drinking vanilla Coke and, like, ordering hits on people.
Yeah.
And probably getting paid, like, $1 million a year.
Getting money into, like, a foreign bank account.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to deal with your, like, nag wife. You're fucking set.
J-O with some guys.
Just J-O with the boys. You play cards all day. My bitch wife sent me some cold cuts.
Yeah, he's thriving.
He's literally living.
It's like fully like the Olive Garden in jail.
It is.
He's like eating breadsticks and like big tossed salad.
I'm like, how do the cold cuts like travel well to your
my
jail?
Favorite,
like,
my
are
favorite.
You...
Sorry. My favorite thing later is when Drita's like, she's like, I ate the package.
You don't deserve to eat. I ate it.
He went, funny, that's what I was calling about, the package. He just wants meat.
He needs meat, cold mozzarella. Cuts, mozzarella, olives, tomatoes. He goes, tomatoes, I'm an out of fresh. Oh, no, that's someone else who really wanted tomatoes. It's Carla's husband.
Carla.
These men, they just call their wives to send them care packages all day and then sit around in jail. Life is pretty good for them.
Carla's husband's leaving jail in 2 months, but when he comes out, they're not living together. So I think they're kind of separated.
Yeah, Carla's like had it with Joe.
Mm-hmm. You should have treated me better.
Mm-hmm.
She says that.
And Renee is really upset that Karen's coming back because she does not want to be associated with a rat.
I wrote, kind of weird that her brother calls their dad daddy.
Renee's brother does?
Karen. She calls her brother and he's like, well, he's like, what does daddy think? I'm like,
ooh. What does daddy think?
She has like kind of a baby voice with her brother. I don't like it.
Yeah. That's some strange ecstasy dynamics.
they all peaked in their role together and like.
And then established like a very
strange,
like,
dynamic.
Strange way of talking to each other. Speaking of jail, Renee loves guys that have been in jail. She only wants to be with guys who have done time.
Well, Renee, Drita, and Carla all meet at this like incredible looking Italian restaurant with gold silk seat covers, which kind of looked like it's what I want.
I'm dying to
like
go.
Like a Russian restaurant.
Like, I don't want to spend any time in Manhattan. I only want to spend time in Staten Island and Jersey.
Let's
North Jersey.
The girls sit down. It's like just like a really... it just looks like a gross place, but I love it.
That's what I want.
I just... I wrote again, Renee looks like Jamie Presley.
She's...
What did I say she looked like? Oh,
she looks like Pepe the Frog. She's like a gorgeous Pepe with bangs and long hair.
She's beautiful.
She's stunning.
She's stunningly beautiful.
She is like, she can only get wet for jailbirds.
She goes, all the good ones are in jail.
All the good ones are in jail. She goes, find me a man that's been in prison. That's all I want.
Go to Danny.
I love how she and Danny could fuck. Yeah. Danny Provenzano.
Danny and I are friends because we both know what it's like to have been in jail. To have served time is a bonding thing. She's positively addicted to guys in jail. She's obsessed. She's like, I don't know what it is. And then Carla.
Her weakness is a man incarcerated.
She has so much trauma from her dad.
She literally can only fuck a guy that's been in jail.
Her daddy issues are so, like,
they are part of her.
Yeah, they're so, it's like a limb to her. And Carla and Drita hear that and they're like.
She's starting.
They're like, girl, like, honey. You got it. They're like, Renee at some point needs to move away from the mob.
Can she do it though? This is her, going to be her biggest struggle is like, will she or won't she? Can she or can't she escape the mob clutches?
They get a little drunk and they go out in the back deck and Renee's just sucking down cigs in these giant chairs and they talk and she's like, I don't know. I'm not going to be okay when Karen comes. Because she and Karen used to be friends, but now she's like, as soon as her dad ratted her father, she goes, I got orders from above to cut off all ties.
Yeah, and so she is just like not a fan. She's not having it.
She goes, I'm told what to do.
I love being told what to do. And she, they take their furs to the back deck.
it's probably freezing cold.
There's snow, like frozen snow on the ground. I was feeling cozy getting back to that like frigid,
I know,
like northeastern winter.
I went like this.
Ooh, gotta get my fur. This is a lynx. I have a lynx.
I went like this.
It made me want to fire up a Newport.
Yeah,
which is what Karen smoked, or Renee.
Oh my god, she's ashing into one of those like sand trash ashtrays with like sand on top that you put all those things into that just
They're
smells
so
like
disgusting.
Garbage things.
Then that scene is intercut with Karen out with her Arizona girls telling them all about her Staten Island life. And I was just like, this is the most Phoenix crew that I've ever seen.
The Real Housewives of Phoenix would be wild.
Oh, that would be really good. Karen, I feel like, is being summoned back to her homeland by, like, forces beyond her control.
She's like, I can't help it. I must leave my daughter.
She's being sucked back to the East Coast.
She's leaving her kid.
She's abandoning her family to go
write a book with, like, a ghostwriter,
I guess. Or, like, be on the show and, like, talk about her pain.
Renee says that if she hangs with Karen, her dad will cut her off financially. Which is
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we know how Renee lives her life.
Yeah, because she has like a pretty nice house.
Yeah, she has like, I literally was like, this woman doesn't work.
Yeah, she's like fully on the family payroll, and that'll go away if she hangs with Karen.
Stakes are fucking high for Renee. Meanwhile, Karen's getting a little bit like she's also addicted to mob life, but in a different way.
She's addicted to like infamy, and I think it probably runs in her family. And I think she's like addicted to like the drama of like coming back and like being talked about.
And she's addicted to like the past, her past memories of like her uncle being exploded in a car and being like, she's always like, you think I didn't worry? Having a gun put to my head? Like, she loves, like, saying... She loves, like, saying really dark facts about her past.
She loves to shock people. I think there's people that get off on just saying, like, shocking things.
Yeah. When the reality is, it's like, you live in Phoenix.
Yeah. Which is shocking in itself.
I'm obsessed with her blonde Phoenix gals. Being I love like, it. What? Like, they have no idea.
Karen also is, like... Her friends are like, will people recognize you on the street in Staten Island? Karen's like, maybe.
She loves
I'm like, oh my God, you're upset. This, you want to be like the big fish.
She's a fame whore. She's looking to go back and cause a fucking stir in Staten Island. And she's going to do it.
The next day, Drita is like making food for her kids and she gets a call and you just hear, hey girl, what's up? And she goes like this. She goes, stop it. Oh my God. And it's Karen calling Drita. They've fallen out. They haven't spoken in like 10 years, I don't think.
Oh my God, stop it.
And she's like,
you know, Karen and I, we kind of fell out because I married Lee, who's her ex.
All these women are so hoarse.
Yeah.
Drita is like rasping for breath.
They all smoke so many cigs.
So many cigs, chaining cigs at all time. I also love, like, right before she gets the call, Drita, like, sashays past her daughters, her older daughter, and she goes, do you have homework? And she goes, yeah, and she goes, then you better get it done. And I love that's the extent of her parenting over homework. That's me.
Just ripping her,
do you have homework? Then you better get it done.
You better get it done. She loves just ripping her home phone receiver off the wall and just asking her kids if they have homework,
and then instead of helping them, just telling them they better get it done.
They better get it done.
I love her. She's constantly ripping her phone, her landline, out of the wall and then having to like plug it back in to like call the dry cleaner.
Karen asked Drita if she wants to meet and catch up, and Drita's like, they have like definitely like a frenemy thing going on, because Karen's like, Drita downplays the extent of which I was involved with Lee a lot, and it's frustrating for me, but
I think it's a bit of like keep your enemies close vibes totally for both of them. Also, back to Karen, her fame, like her fame whoring in Staten Island, she goes, fuck John Gotti, fuck Sammy the Bull, I'm gangster and I'm coming home. I was like, are you
what is that? What
that's have bold
to do with, that have to do with anything.
Why would you say that?
I know.
On TV.
Fuck John Gotti.
Fuck John Gotti. Fuck Sammy the Bull.
That's your dad.
That's your dad. What? You were in business with him.
She's out of control. She also looks like old Chloe. Like old face, Chloe's face.
Yeah, she is Chloe Kardashian.
Yeah.
And fuck your own dad.
And fuck John Gotti.
And fuck John Gotti.
What?
Carla is really like fine with Karen coming back. She's like ready to just invite her to her birthday party.
Renee's like, don't invite her. And Carla's like, I think of Renee as a girl who is way too into the mob scene.
Renee comes right over to Carla's house to tell her not to invite her. And she goes, she's standing in her kitchen. She goes, her dad put a lot of people away. And I was like, who are you talking like this? You've never been involved in this business.
She wants to.
She wants to be a boss.
Do you feel like some kind of like a pain that's like so intangible that it's like so deep within her?
She wanted to be a son.
Yeah, I think so.
Because then, I mean,
she would be respected by her dad.
Yeah. I don't think that that's like, I don't think that that's cut. We're like, I think that that's a keen observation and probably something that many women who find themselves in this situation end up wishing to some extent, is like, because that you are only respected. It's like a male dominated industry, but like to its DNA, like you are not respected as a woman.
But yeah, I think she's, it's like you see the sexism in this kind of lifestyle and this like in this business, mm-hmm. and how women are
powerless
and just defer to their men.
They know nothing about anything.
Yeah. And so I think Renee is so trapped in that she, yeah, she's like, it probably would have been easier if I was just like a son.
Yeah. At least people would like tell you things.
Yeah.
And you'd be like included and have some sort of power and control over your life and your situation.
The way she just like breathlessly says things like, men have more responsibility than women, and like, I like to be told what, I'm just like, it's like, oh my God. It's like, it's such a, yeah, it's
a stark difference from how you live your life.
It's devastating.
I both love it and hate it for her.
Well, obviously it's like fun to watch like just this total opposite day
land
where it's like things that are just truths that we hold on and values that we have are just completely the opposite.
Yeah, but some women women enjoy that lifestyle and can find a lot of joy in it. And
I'm speaking specifically about like the mafia thing though, yeah. Of like the women having to like live in ignorance and not be like the men being like, shut up, say nothing. You don't know anything.
Shut up, bitch.
Teresa.
Make me a meatball.
Like when the cops came to the Browns or the country club and she went, I don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
What's your phone number? I don't know. It's like, okay.
You have to just be hot and not know anything, but also cook and also have children. You have so much responsibility with not a lot of benefits or power.
And be just like otherworldly loyal.
Mm-hmm.
To a point of like where it's at the cost of your soul.
Yeah. You never leave your husband.
Never leave your husband or your father. So Carla, I thought Carla was going to be kind of a flop, but I think she's actually really chill.
She's a dark horse. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. She's winning me over. She's seemingly the most level-headed person in the group.
So yeah, Karen and Drita meet, and Karen says, I think Drita plays down my relationship with Leah, with Lee. She goes, we live together.
Yeah, like they were in a relationship for 7 years.
Yeah. That's like a marriage.
Mm-hmm. That's like almost common law marriage. That's a long, hefty relationship to have with someone. Jackie, the spray tan specialist, comes over to Drita's house to like give her a spray tan. And I guess Drita's man, Lee, won't stop calling her. Like he's calling her over and over. And she,
cold cuts.
I know, he's crazy. He's like chomping at the bit for those cold cuts. And she won't answer. And she just goes, I guess men in prison get like this. Like just calling their wives ferociously, demanding cold cuts and vanilla cokes.
Also, the fact that he can use his phone that much means that he's like,
yeah, it's like,
where are you?
Do him a landline. Yeah. I love every time he calls you, it's like, you have a collect call from Lee DeFanso.
From the, you know,
so-and-so correctional institute.
She invites Karen, comes over for something.
I think they're gonna get spray tans.
And she walks in and she sees a painting and then Drita's like, you remember that painting? Or like, have you seen this painting? And then Karen goes, yeah, I see it. I used to hang over the bed that I rode your husband in. I was like, oh.
Whoa.
Kind of iconic.
That was a really iconic move from Karen.
Then
it's Carla's birthday.
I just wrote, I need to be in Staten Island immediately.
Get me there. Every bar looks the same, but also like invite, like I'm just very attracted to this.
Just seeing like the night snowbanks at night, like under like this light pollution, like orange skies of the just, Northeast.
Yeah, old dirty frozen snow that's been piled up on corners. It's just crusty. So it's not even wet anymore. It's just everything's dry. Your sinuses are bone dry.
I just wrote, Renee is going to kill Drita.
Renee is drinking like a fucking fish at the
Well, first Renee gets ready and she goes, I love the glitz and I love the glam. That's Renee. And you just see her and I'm like, where are those things? Renee.
She was party. Renee is the center of attraction.
She loves a party.
Loves a party.
I think she went to rehab.
I would say that tracks.
I think she might have a drinking
problem. She's pulling like a Jax season 2 of Vanderpump Rules where he rolled up to the bar and took 7 shots in a row. That's the energy she's bringing to Carla's birthday gathering.
She also, she was talking to her son. And she's like, how do I look? And he's just like, you look great, mom. Like, he's just like, get away from me.
He's so traumatized by his entire family. Poor AJ.
I didn't know how old he was, and I just wrote, Renee's son is hot.
He's hot. I thought that, midway through episode two, he's 16.
Jonathan.
16. No, don't take it out. He's of age now. It is what it is. You can some 16-year-olds are hot. That's just an observation.
So she's wearing a literal like necklace from Ross. I swear to God, I've seen those. You know what I'm talking about.
Is it like a tiered statement necklace? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just I don't care like how much the necklace is actually worth. If it's a tiered statement necklace, it's gonna have Ross vibes, period. There's nothing that can pull you out of a place of Ross when it comes to a tiered statement necklace.
She calls herself Party Renee.
Party Renee, I love, is the center of attraction.
She is.
She actually She's is.
Like, all eyes on me in the center of a ring, just like a circus. Uh-huh.
She is like a black hole.
She is. She sucks
everything else into it.
Drita and Carla want to get Renee fucked up so she doesn't yell at Karen.
Good plan. Feed like a bull. Like, that's like feeding like a bull PCP and hoping that it like doesn't try and gore you.
She goes, Drita goes, I know when I'm drunk, I can go up to someone I just beat up and said, you're my best friend. And she says it like, and I was like, what? How many people? Really? How often do you beat people?
I think she's beating people left and right.
Yes, she is. Karen starts taking shot after shot. By the way, this party isn't a party. It's them at a bar.
It was four women gathering. Carla kept being like, my birthday party. I was like, where's the rest of the party?
Yeah.
It's the four of you.
It's the four of you.
It's the three of you. And then Karen joins and it becomes four.
Yeah. It's not a birthday. It's not a party. A party it is not. And then Karen walks in as Renee's taking a shot. Renee's eyes bug. And you just hear her and she goes, these bitches set me up. She storms off, bolts from the bar.
Walks right out, but not far. Just like 10 feet out the door where she pulls her Newports out and she's like trying to smoke.
Karen goes out to talk to her and you see like the bridge, the Bayonne Bridge. It's
gorgeous.
It just looks great. And Karen or Renee's puts a cigarette up to her mouth at one point and she is trembling.
Her hands are shaking. She's so furious because even the way that Karen entered the bar was, they were like, Drita's like, come on, let's take another shot. And they all raise their shot glasses and they go, this is too. And then Karen walks in and Drita goes, Karen Gravano, and then shoots it. And so that's how Karen's like ushered in. Fucking Renee simply cannot.
She is like channeling so something.
She is a bully finishing.
And she just is like, again, being, she's like, I can't associate with you. Do you know how many families your dad's, like, how the lives is how many families your dad ruined?
Yeah.
And then Karen goes, okay, but like, when my dad was holding guns up to people's heads, did that bother you? Or is it just the fact that he, like, did that not ruin families? Or is it the fact that he ratted? So she's trying to show Renee, like, you're more upset about my dad ratting than him, like, killing people.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a, like...
Points were made. I love it, too, when Karen's outside, or when Renee is outside, like, just trembling, trying to smoke a Newport. Karen goes, she's so happy. Happy as a clam to be back in Staten Island and already causing drama. Like, ecstatic that her mere presence has caused a woman to leave and tremble. Yeah. She goes, hold on, let me handle this bitch. And I was like, Karen, you're in over your head, babe.
You just flew in from Phoenix.
You like, literally just got here from Phoenix,
like,
Arizona.
You took like a 10 a.m. flight and just got into Newark. Like,
you talk a lot of shit. Back it up? And then they're fighting. And then Karen's like, if you don't like it, why don't you leave? And Renee goes, I don't leave anywhere. I never did, and I never will.
And then
she doesn't leave anywhere.
She
comes and she just stays.
Well, yeah.
She's never left.
She's never left.
And she never will leave.
She's never left a single place. She is everywhere at once.
She lingers, and once she comes, she stays.
Karen has transcended human form, and she is now like able to be everywhere at once.
Yeah, Renee.
Sorry.
No, it's hard to keep them straight. She's multidimensional. She is everywhere and nowhere.
She is,
and she will never leave.
And then they go back in the bar. By the way, they've cleared the floor.
The bar cleared out. Those are just like two patrons hustling out of, like, during the peak of this drama that you can tell, like, as a couple that didn't sign up for, like, Staten Island.
Or it's like they're just used to, like, stuff like this happening, and they all, like, as soon as they hear, like, the one gunshot, they all go running because they know. And then the four of them are fighting in front of the bar, and there's, like, one bartender who's just staring at them, like, in shot. And at one point, Drita and Renee start fighting because she's like, you fucking...
Sorry, Tony just hooted on me.
Oh, no. She's like, you fucking set me up. Like, you lied to me. How dare you? And then Drita is... They're about to, like, throw down. And then Carla just out of nowhere starts choking Renee to stop her. And the minute they do it in slow motion, and Renee makes the funniest face I've ever seen. Carla puts her hands, like, on her neck to get her to stop. And then Renee just goes, and her eyes bug and her tongue sticks out.
You think, too, like, the angle that it shot is that Drita choked her, and you don't realize in the first episode that it was Carla. But Renee, Pepe goes full bug-eyed. And then episode one ends, and you're just, like, truly on the edge of your goddamn seat. What will these... mob wives get up to next?
It's like one of those dolls where you squeeze it and its eyes stick out.
She can't believe, she's in a state of utter disbelief. Her life is flashing before her very eyes in that moment.
These are the risks of not leaving anyway.
In her mind, this is a hit. Like, I fully believe that for Renee, all time slowed down where they were like, how dare you? And they put it on her thing, and her, she was, no. And then it went, like, time flowed back to her very birth, where her dad was, like, holding her as a baby and going, she's beautiful, but I wish she was a boy. And then, like, she saw her entire existence.
Yeah. But she's like, now I know what it's like to be my dad. You know, like, she's out there. She's like, I've been in some tough calls before, but this one was a true bona fide hit.
This is like her life as, like, always being a woman, never being a man. And it all led up to this moment where it was like her dad came to her in a vision and was like, now you know, Renee, now you know what it's like to be out in these streets, wondering if you're going to live or die, living life on the edge. You're real Graziano now.
She was made.
You're my boy. And then she comes out of the strangling. She goes, and then now she is. Now, like, that, like, was her rite of passage.
And now she's like, I need to be on lithium.
In her mind, she almost died. She died and came back to life.
Carla, like, lightly, like.
Carla literally just placed a hand on her throat.
No. Oh. She goes, the last time I felt like that, I was choking on some gabagool.
I was about to sleep with the fishes. I was drowning out there.
She, like, woke her son up, who's, like, has to get up early for, like, you know, basketball practice in the morning. And he's like, AJ, I was almost sleeping in the harbor. And he's like, Mom, please let me go to bed.
Please shut up, for the love of God. So, yeah, they're starting.
We come up on episode, oh wait, we can start episode,
yeah, so
tune in
next week for more.
Guys,
this is truly a gift.
Thank you. This was such a good idea.
It's good to be back. I feel like I didn't even, like, someone else suggested it and I was like, yes, this is actually genius.
It feels good to be back in the tri-state area.
Yeah. Staten Island. I'm just excited to explore an area that I literally had to Google today to figure out where it was. I've lived 37 years on this world not knowing where Staten Island actually is.
Let's stay in Staten Island when we're in New York.
Okay.
And take the ferry over.
Yeah. Let's make things as hard as possible for ourselves.
Let's stay in, like, Edison.
There's a place called Old Place that's in Staten Island.
Let's go.
Old Place. Hey. We'll take the we'll at the very least take the Staten Island ferry. I'll strangle you on the Staten Island ferry.
Stop. I'm really gonna, like, wet my pants. I'm laughing so hard. Ooh. It was a hit.
I lost my vision.
I lost my vision. I saw my life flash before my eyes. I saw myself going right into the harbor.
I saw it all. I was in heaven and hell at the same damn time.
I saw the lights of Manhattan in the distance. And I saw the bridges. And then I saw the murky depths of the bay. I was in there for a full minute before I came out. She tried to kill me tonight in front of everyone, clear as day.
And she'll get away with it.
She goes, and then she goes, hold on a second. I got to order a chicken palm.
I need a meatball. I need a meatball to come down off of that. Walk on toe in the line of death. She truly was like.
She was on the floor. Edge.
Yeah. Thank God she survived to see another day.
Well, guys, tune in next week. Write in if you have any great Staten Island stories, any intel, if you grew up there. Like, I want to just know. I want to be immersed in Staten Island.
Same. You can leave us a voice note. We play them on bonus episodes now by recording a voice note on your phone. And then you just email that voice note to sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com. And then you will
get
to share your truth. Yeah, on the bonus apps. Come to our show.
Come to our show. Buy tickets, guys.
Buy tickets. I updated my website with all links to buy tickets. You can find everything at larsmarie.com.
Go.
We're going to be in Philly. We're going to be in Boston. We're going to be in New York. We're going full Mob Wives East Coast fall.
We're going to wear faux fur on stage.
Yes. Links. Is this a Lynx? I have a Lynx.
Is this a Lynx?
We're going to wear the fur of endangered species on stage.
So many chinchillas.
Beyond.
JK. But yeah, we love you guys. We're so happy to be back in Staten Island, New Jersey. Is Staten Island, New Jersey, or is it New York?
It's New York.
Staten Island, New York.
Is it?
It's New York. I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's like
tell
a
us.
No man's land.
It really is. It's an island in and of itself.
You can follow Laura at Lars Marie.
Follow Carrie at E Carrie O. And
catch you later.
That's all she wrote.
Bye.